Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, we welcome you to our Thursday edition of Stand in the Gap Today, and this is Dave Kistler. I'm your host for today. Dr. Gary Dahl is away on vacation, and Sam Rohrer, who's also normally with us and co-hosts the program, is on assignment in the country of Ukraine, and I have been in contact with him this morning, and he is doing very, very well. If you're monitoring the news, you are probably very much up to speed on the fact that there are some things going on that are could be very, very difficult and treacherous along the Ukrainian border with the country of Russia. So please be in prayer for Sam, and he'll be back next week and be able to share with us in greater detail what his trip consisted of and the blessings of the trip. And so I will defer to him at that time, let him share more with us about that. But for today, we have an action-packed program. We have a lot to discuss. And in this first segment, we're going to jump right into it. It would be a great time if you wanted to call a friend, encourage them to tune in. That would be a great thing for you to do, because the information we're going to present today, the discussion that we will have, should be highly insightful. I want to introduce my co-host for today and tomorrow, and that is Dr. Steve Townsend. Steve is a former pastor. He is a former teacher. He is a traveler. He's traveled around the world and across the United States representing a Christian college. So Steve has a breadth of experience. Steve, currently you're working with an organization called National Write Your Congressman. And so let me welcome you to the program today. And if you could, just in a short statement, explain what National Write Your Congressman does.
Well, Dave, it's a pleasure to be with you today. I'll tell you, I'm really excited to see some things that are going on. But just in a nutshell, National Write Your Congressman is our mission is to encourage responsible Americans to use their influence in government to preserve the freedom set forth by our founding fathers.
Steve, that organization is, and I'm a member of it, by the way, and this is not necessarily a promotion for National Write Your Congressman, though in one sense it is a little bit of that. I appreciate so much what they do. They send out alerts on a weekly basis, let you know what's pending as far as what's going to be voted on in the House and in the Senate in Washington, D.C., and it gives a concerned citizen, which we all should be, immediate access, well-documented information about what's pending. And then it provides a format whereby you can type an email. And if you're a member of this organization, you just kind of hit a key on your keypad of your computer, and it sends your opinion, what you are asking your congressmen and senators to do. It sends it to every one of them or to a select number of them that you designate that you want that information going to. So, Steve, it is an outstanding, outstanding organization. And we can talk about that a little bit more, but it's a delight to have you aboard, Steve. I appreciate you joining me for today. Your expertise is important to me, and I think it's going to be very, very important to our listeners. You and I have known each other for probably close to 3 decades plus. We've ministered together in churches. We've also labored together in Washington, D.C., and done things in the nation's capital together. So I have great respect for you, and I'm delighted to introduce you to our Stand in the Gap audience. I want to jump right into our first topic, and that has to do with the 14th Amendment. Steve, you probably have been following this, but Donald Trump made his way back onto the headlines yesterday and was the center of attention in the news based on some comments he made regarding the 14th Amendment and the fact that children born to those that are not members or that are not, rather, citizens of the United States of America should not be, according to the 14th Amendment, considered automatically citizens of the United States just because they were born here in the United States of America. That stirred a lot of controversy. A lot of people came out and, to be honest with you, betrayed their ignorance and said the 14th Amendment is crystal clear. If you are born in America, then you are considered a citizen. And this is the basis upon which they are making those erroneous statements. Let me read to you the text of the 14th Amendment. There's actually 5 sections to the 14th Amendment. I'm going to only read you the part that applies here that has been the topic of discussion. that has gotten Donald Trump in so much hot water, unjustly so. But here's the section. It's Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, which says this. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Now, that's an important statement. There's a few more sentences in the Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, but what I just read is the critical component. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Now, there have been, down through U.S. history, three Supreme Court decisions relative to the 14th Amendment. I want to reference each of those and explain what they say, and then, Steve, I'm going to come to you and get your comments. There was a case in 1873 called the Slaughterhouse Cases. It had to do with individuals that worked in slaughterhouses. I won't go into the history of it, but the 14th Amendment, according to those Supreme Court cases in 1873, literally said this: the 14th Amendment excludes the children of aliens. In other words, those that are not citizens of the United States were not intended to be included in the 14th Amendment when that amendment was enacted. It goes on and says this: the phrase subject to its jurisdiction, in other words, subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, was intended to exclude from its operation children of foreign ministers, consuls, citizens, or subjects of foreign states, even though they were born within the United States. So in other words, this thing called anchor babies, where let's say a Mexican mother knows she's about to give birth, and right before she gives birth, she comes from Mexico, crosses into the United States, has that child, and thereby that child is granted automatic citizenship. According to this 1873 decision out of the high court, that it is clear that foreigners or aliens or non-citizens of the United States, their children were not to be considered citizens of the United States of America. Steve, let me ask you a question. What do you think is behind this erroneous idea that has been promoted for so long that it's kind of oozed into the American consciousness that children of anyone, if they're born in the United States, they're automatically citizens? Where do you think this erroneous idea is coming from?
Well, Dave, I personally think it is coming from people that are wanting to come here. And this is my opinion, and this is one reason that I'm now actually interviewing people on the issue of immigration reform. And there's a lot of concern that some people are coming here for the specific purpose of having a baby born, and so that they, even though they are citizens of other nations, once we take advantage of our distribution.
Steve, I'm going to hold you right there. We've got to go to the break. Friends, stay with us. We're going to come back and talk more about this 14th Amendment issue. The bottom line is basically this: what Donald Trump said is constitutionally and historically accurate. You are not automatically a citizen of the United States of America just because you were born inside this country. If you were born to parents that were not citizens, it does not automatically mean you're a citizen. Stay with us. We'll be back right after these messages.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church.
In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
We remember the story in Luke of the incredible obedience of Mary. She said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You know, Mary understood that God, not her, but God had chosen her for this task. She had obviously always been one who considered herself a servant of the Lord. And she reminded the angel Gabriel that she understood that she was the maidservant of the Lord. What an incredible example of obedience.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, we welcome you back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler. And again, for those of you who may be just joining us, Dr. Gary Dull is away on vacation. And Sam Rohrer is on assignment in the country of Ukraine, and so I would encourage you to pray for them. I also want to mention, because we have new radio stations being added to the Stand in the Gap network on a weekly basis, we've had three new stations added very, very recently. I want to mention the call letters of those stations and their locations and thank them for becoming a part of the American Pastors Network network of radio stations. Those stations are WFBM 90.5 out of Beaver Spring, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, WFBV 90.1 out of Sellens Grove, Pennsylvania, and then WFBA also 90.5 out of Culpmont, Pennsylvania. So we welcome those of you that are listening on one of those stations to Stand in the Gap today. We hope you will continue to listen and encourage others of your friends, coworkers, neighbors, family members to do the same. We're talking about the 14th Amendment. We're talking about Donald Trump's statements about the 14th Amendment. And basically, friends, what he said was that children that are born to parents that are not citizens of the United States should not be, are not. The 14th Amendment never intended for them to be considered citizens merely because they were born in the United States of America. That got him into a lot of hot water. And to be honest with you, friends, those that have taken him to task on this have done so out of ignorance of the intent of the 14th Amendment. There have been three Supreme Court cases, one in 1873 called the Slaughterhouse Cases, that dealt with what the 14th Amendment meant and who should be citizens of this country. Is it just those that are born here, period? Or was it children born to citizens of the United States that were to be considered citizens of this country? Let me again read Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, because this is the part that's in question. And the 14th Amendment, Section 1 says this: all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Now, that is the critical component of the 14th Amendment that deals with this. Let me cite the other two Supreme Court cases that have dealt with this, that have clarified who should be considered a citizen of the United States. In 1874, 1 year after the Slaughterhouse case, there was a case that made its way to the high court called Minor versus Happersett. And in that case, the Supreme Court said that it was crystal clear to our founders, they never doubted that all children born in a country of parents who were its citizens became themselves upon their birth citizens also. Now, let me repeat that. Our founders believed and never doubted that all children born in a country of parents who were its citizens. In other words, children born to parents who are citizens of this country, those children themselves became at birth citizens also. So that decision in 1874 limited as citizens of the United States only those who were born here whose parents were citizens. Then 10 years later in 1884, there was a case that made its way to the high court called Elk versus Wilkins. And in that case, they dealt with the phrase subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And that is the phrase again in the 14th Amendment where it says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. Some have interpreted that phrase subject to the jurisdiction thereof merely to mean if you were born here, you were physically present in the United States, even though your parents weren't citizens of America, then you have or should have conferred on you citizenship. The Elk versus Wilkins case in 1884 said not so. Let me read from that case. The phrase subject to the jurisdiction thereof requires, quote, direct and immediate allegiance to the United States, not just physical presence. So in other words, if you were a child of a parent who was not a citizen of this country, you do not have conferred upon you citizenship in the United States merely because of your physical presence within our borders. You must be and must commit direct and immediate allegiance to the United States. That is what is meant by the jurisdiction thereof, not just physical presence in the country, but allegiance to this country. Steve, let me ask you, can you understand what I've been saying? And I'd love to have your comments on it.
Dave, you know, it's very important because it was almost a prophetic ruling and interpretation. See, this amendment was put in place shortly after the Civil War when there were people that were brought here against their will. And we historically and traditionally have always been a compassionate nation. And so after the Civil War, when all these people received their emancipation and freedom, the question came up, okay, what do we do with these kids that they didn't have any place to go? you know, because of the terrible institution of slavery. And so, you know, they shortly after the Civil War, this amendment passed because it was the right thing to do for the kids that were born, being born at that time to these people. It did not include all immigrants, and there needed clarification from the Supreme Court. And it's interesting on the dates. You know, the 14th Amendment was passed shortly after the Civil War, when the Civil War ended in 1865. These are three cases that were ruled on in 1873, 1874, and 1884. And it's interesting, the 1884 ruling actually involved, if I'm not mistaken, a Native American who was wanting to just declare that he was a citizen because he was born here, even though there really was no indication that he was actually showing allegiance to the United States, and he definitely had not gone through the naturalization process. You know, anybody can become a citizen if they go through the proper channels.
Steve, that's an excellent point, and you are 100% correct that Elk versus Wilkins case of 1884 did have to do with that particular individual. And what we're trying to say and what we're trying to communicate here is not that we are endorsing Donald Trump. What we are trying to underscore is this fact that those that have taken him to task have done so in ignorance and a totally erroneous understanding of what the 14th Amendment was to do. And Steve, this is not just true about the 14th Amendment. This is true about so much of the United States Constitution that has been wrenched from its historical context and then words taken, manipulated, massaged, twisted, and used to say things that originally the intent of the founders or the intent of those enacted these amendments to the Constitution never intended whatsoever. So we have to go back to the historical basis to understand what was going on, and we have to read what the High Court said as it attempted to provide clarity specifically to this 14th Amendment situation and what is now called anchor babies. So just because you were a child born to a parent and you were born within the physical confines of the United States does not mean that you automatically have conferred upon you U.S. citizenship. Your parents must have been citizens, and there is this jurisdiction issue that you have committed your allegiance to this country. So, Steve, that would mean this. If someone were born, and I'm going to use this as the hypothetical, it's not all that hypothetical because it's happening. If some child were born to Muslim parents who were not themselves citizens of this country, it does not mean that child born to those parents automatically receives citizenship, especially if those Muslim parents have not committed their allegiance to the United States of America. Do you understand that the way I do?
I couldn't have said it better, Dave. I mean, that is exactly what, you know, our founding fathers were very concerned and understood the idea of citizenship much better, really, and the idea of pledging allegiance to our flag is something that I personally believe we are losing in the fact of understanding what does that mean exactly. And if someone is not willing to abide by our laws and be law-abiding citizens, the word jurisdiction is related to the idea of justice. And, you know, we are supposed to be a nation that is governed by laws, and it's a scary thing because we are seeing just a disregard, even starting with some of our highest elected officials, that the idea of conforming and abiding by actual written law, and even more importantly, God's laws, but also by our legislative and constitutional laws, If we start getting away from that and just kind of begin doing that, which is right in our own eyes, we're going to be in real trouble.
Well, Steve, you could not have said it better. We will be in real trouble. We already are. We're going to be in more trouble if we don't come back to being what our founders intended, and that is a nation of laws, not of men. We follow the laws of the land, not just human beings. Friends, I want to encourage you to come back. We're going to talk in our next segment about the Iranian nuclear deal. There are some amazing things that have come out in the last 24 to 48 hours relative to what's in that deal that again underscores and puts giant exclamation points on the fact that this is not good for the United States of America. So don't go away. Come back. Join us. We'll come back right after these messages with greater information.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. Jimmy Carter starts radiation treatment today for cancer that spread to his brain. The former president announcing his diagnosis this morning in Atlanta.
They did an MRI and found that there were four spots of melanoma on my brain. They are very small spots, about 2 millimeters.
The cancer was originally found during liver surgery this month. President Carter's 90 years old. He says he's ready for anything. A car bomb tears into a national security building in Cairo, Egypt.
A massive explosion leaving gaping holes exposing the offices of the building. At least 29 people were hurt. 11 of them were soldiers and police. The engine of the car was apparently used in the attack. It landed on the other side of the street. ISIS claimed responsibility, saying the blast was to avenge the execution of six convicted militants in May.
Fox News Radio's Jessica Gallagher. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson, 1800.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today. This is Dave Kistler, and along with me today, co-hosting, is Dr. Steve Townsend. Steve currently works with an organization called National Right Your Congressman, and if we have time before the program concludes today, I'm going to have Steve just give the information whereby you can find out more about National Right Your Congressman. It's an outstanding organization, provides for you well-documented, well-researched information, and gives you a venue whereby you can contact your elected officials in Washington, D.C. easily and quickly. And by the way, this organization is highly respected on the Hill. It's nonpartisan. The folks on the Hill, the congressmen and senators, know this organization. It's been around for years. They have high respect for it. And when someone contacts a legislator via National Right Your Congressman, it gets the attention of those on the Hill. And there have been a number of significant victories for the cause of righteousness and conservatism that have come about based on National Right Your Congressman's ability to communicate to elected officials the opinions of those of us out in rural America who seemingly don't have much of a voice unless you have a radio program like this, for which I'm very thankful. But we'll say more about that a little bit later. Steve, at the bottom of the hour on the Fox News, there was a comment made about Jimmy Carter's cancer. I don't know if you had the privilege or the opportunity this morning to see his press conference, but I was able to watch most of it while I was doing some other things. And to be quite honest with you, it was quite phenomenal. I was not a fan of Jimmy Carter. I felt like up until Barack Obama, he was probably the weakest president, certainly that we have had in your lifetime and in mine, maybe one of the weakest presidents in the history of the United States. So I was not necessarily a fan of him politically. But I will say this, Steve, his comments today relative to the terminal nature of his cancer. He had surgery, I think, last month or earlier this month. I think it actually may have been as far back as May. He had cancer surgery on his liver. They have now determined that that cancer has metastasized. It's spread to other parts of his body. He has, I think he said, 2 or 4 lesions on his brain. They are not large, but it does indicate that the cancer has metastasized to that location. And it's basically, and he said it very, very candidly, it's a terminal illness. Now, he's going through treatments and all of that. But, Steve, it was absolutely amazing to listen to him talk. He seemed to have great peace, great serenity. And the thing that I would like you to comment on, whether you saw it or not, is he handled the press conference today, Steve, with great dignity. He was funny. He expressed hope. He talked about his presidency, and in his discussion, he said far more important than my years as president has been the fact that I have been involved with Habitat for Humanity. He talked very affectionately about his family. I mean, here's a man who's 91 years of age. He's done a lot. He's seen a lot. And yet he's putting the emphasis really where it needs to be on family and on his faith. Now, he did not say specifically, I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. He didn't say that, but he did talk about his faith and how important a role that plays in his life. Steve, I'd love for you to comment. You're a family man. You've been a pastor. You're a very busy guy. But don't you think that's unique and speaks volumes for a man at 91 facing his own mortality? He puts the emphasis really where it needs to be.
Well, I'll tell you, Dave, that is outstanding. Has been very faithful in teaching in his church. I've actually had the privilege of driving down. I live here in Georgia, and we actually took a trip shortly after we moved here to Georgia many years ago down to his neck of the woods down there in the Plains area. And he's taught a Sunday school class. People will come make it part of their vacation to attend a Sunday school class that he's attended. And he actually, made it very plain during that presidential campaign in 1976 when he first was elected. And then, he ran for reelection in 1980, but, part of his life that he claimed to be a born again Christian. And, from our standpoint, we believe that Christians have the answer to what face, death is not the end. It's only a death is a doorway. And the most important thing is for any person to make sure that they're prepared for eternity.
You know, Steve, that's exactly right. And of course, I've involved my life almost exclusively. The 56 years that I've lived, 31 of them have been involved in evangelistic outreach and ministry. And there is nothing more important to anyone, certainly those that are listening to this program today, who are not 100% certain that their eternal destiny is going to be heaven. You can get that settled. And the most important decision anyone will ever make is, what will I do with Jesus, who's called the Christ? And that question was asked by Pilate many, many years ago. And tragically, Pilate made the wrong decision. But Steve, you've made the decision. I've made the decision to invite Christ into our heart and life. We've asked for him to forgive our sin. We have committed our lives to him. The Bible calls that being saved or born again. And you are 100% correct. Jimmy Carter made that a vital part of his 76 campaign. Again, he brought it up regularly in his campaign for re-election that he lost to Ronald Reagan in 1980. But Steve, it was really, really stunning. I mean, he spoke with great serenity today. There was no apprehension, or at least didn't appear to be. He spoke very candidly about his illness. Someone asked him, you know, what are you looking for in the future? He said, well, I'm hopeful for the future, but I'm also very realistic. What he was saying is, I know that apart from God's intervention, this will be a death sentence for me. But he handled it with such dignity, grace, and fortitude that I just thought it required us to say something about it. And I want to encourage you as listeners to pray for former President Carter. Pray that God will give his doctors great wisdom. Pray for him as he goes through two forms of treatment. It's going to be radiation and also injections, which I'm assuming are chemo injections. So you pray for him that he will continue to have the grace and strength and fortitude that he's had thus far. Steve, it was just an amazing thing to watch. I want to shift gears here.
Dave, go right ahead. Before you shift gears, can I tell just one little personal story? This is on a very, very personal note, but you were actually involved with it. As you know, my third daughter, Jenny, got married back in April. And I don't know if you know this or not, but it was very interesting. She and her husband went on a honeymoon. They left the day after they got married. They went to they flew to Crete, which is off the coast of Greece. One of the interesting things is that when they took that international flight from the United States to Crete, Jimmy Carter was on that flight.
Wow.
And I don't know if you knew that or not, because
I did not know that at all.
You came to her wedding, and the interesting thing is that he was just very gracious. I'm pretty sure that my son-in-law and my daughter were able to actually get a picture with him they said he was just very gracious and just very down to earth, and it was just kind of. It'll be something they'll remember the rest of their lives. I mean, how often do you get on a plane with a former president, you know?
Well, you know, Steve, that's an interesting thing. And I want to say this. What struck me today as he was speaking and talking there in the press conference was a couple of things. Number one, incredibly gracious, incredibly kind to every questioner. Razor-sharp thinking. A razor-sharp sense of humor. But Steve, something else. He appeared to be the most articulate today that I have ever seen him. One of the things that used to, I guess, trouble me, and I think it troubled a lot of people, was his seeming lack of being articulate when he was president. It was like he just couldn't verbalize and articulate his positions well. But today, Steve, it was absolutely stunning. Just incredibly fluid and articulate as he spoke. And the fact that Jenny and her husband had the chance to meet him, I did not know that. But that is something not only they will remember the rest of their lives, that's a compelling story in and of itself, which means this. You know, our presidents are just regular people, Steve. They're people that deal with the same problems every one of us deal with. You know, if you do know Christ as Savior, and of course, President Carter claims that he knows the Lord. I'm not his judge. I don't know what's going on in his heart. But I do know this. If you do legitimately know Christ as Savior, when it comes to the time of you stepping through that portal called death, you can face it with courage. You can face it with serenity because you know what's waiting on the other side. Those that do not have that assurance cannot face death that way. In fact, myriad are the stories of those who have approached death in great fear because they don't know what's coming, because they don't know Christ as Savior. So phenomenal story, Steve. I appreciate you sharing that.
Glad to do it.
Well, listen, we're about ready to go into the break. Before we do, in about 40 seconds we have left, when we come back, friends, we're going to talk about the Iranian nuclear deal. We're going to touch on that. There are some things that have come out relative to that deal that really have a number of people irate, one of whom is Lindsey Graham. And I'm going to read Lindsey Graham's comments relative to this. We're going to talk about this component of the deal that is not only incredibly bad for the nation of Israel, not only incredibly destabilizing to the Middle East, but certainly not good for the United States of America. So, friends, stay tuned. Right after this break, we'll be back with more on Stand in the Gap Today.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Learn more about the Federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to knowpacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards has been all over television news programs trying to defend her organization from the revelations that it harvests and sells the body parts from unborn babies. It doesn't seem to be working since there is a growing number of states that have launched investigations into Planned Parenthood and that have cut off sending tax dollars to that group. Earlier this year, Cecile Richards was in Harrisburg celebrating the election and inauguration of our new governor, Tom Wolf. At that time, Richard said that Pennsylvania's governor is the first governor from any state that that has volunteered as a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic escort, meaning that Tom Wolf helped take women and girls into Planned Parenthood to get an abortion. Governor Wolf needs to hear from you that it's time to cut ties with that death-dealing organization. Sign our online petition at pafamily.org/ppaction. That's pafamily.org/ppaction.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is your host, Dave Kistler, and joining me today is Dr. Steve Townsend. And we want to just chat briefly about two things in this final segment. Number one, the Iranian nuclear deal. Yesterday, it was revealed that there are even more dangerous elements in this Iranian nuclear deal. Evidently, the agreement, if passed, would allow Iran's own inspectors to be the ones who inspect the most controversial nuclear sites. And the fact that that is a part of this deal prompted Lindsey Graham, who, of course, is a senator from South Carolina, to make the following statement. He said, quote, allowing the Iranians to inspect their own nuclear sites, particularly a notorious military site, is like allowing the inmates to run the jail, end quote. This component is just one of several side deals that have been negotiated between Iran and the United Nations. Now, when this deal was passed, it was not brought to the American public's attention. It was not even brought to Congress's attention that these side deals even existed. But this is one component of several side deals that Iran has initiated or negotiated, rather, with the United Nations. So my question is this: what else is out there that we don't know about? Just this one component here would mean that the IAEA, the Atomic Energy Agency, the Iranian Atomic Energy, International Atomic Energy Agency, would not be doing the inspecting, but rather they would be reduced, the IAEA would be reduced to monitoring Iranian personnel as they did the inspections. Friends, this is the equivalent of having the fox guard the hen house, and it prompted yesterday New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez to defect from the Democratic Party, and he has now announced that he is going to vote no on this agreement as well. So will Congress be able to stop the deal? That yet remains to be seen. Of course, the way the process works is this. The president has put forth this deal since it's not called a treaty, and Congress has agreed for it not to be called a treaty. It's merely an executive agreement. It does not have to meet the two-thirds muster that a treaty would have to meet, two-thirds of the House and Senate. So the president has proposed it. Congress has this 60-day window to discuss it. They'll vote on it in September. I have no doubt that they will vote down the agreement, but President Obama has vowed to veto, which I'm convinced, obviously, he will veto anything Congress does. And then Congress would have to muster a two-thirds majority to overturn Obama's veto. That is what is unsure. Are there enough votes, specifically in the Senate, to muster that two-thirds requirement to overturn the president's veto? At this point, it is not believed that that is there. But again, there's a lot more that may come out in the next week, week and a half, 2 weeks before the vote is actually held that could literally cause this possibly to be overturned. So a lot to pray about that, and I would certainly encourage you to pray much about it. The last thing, Steve, I want to talk about today is Hillary Clinton's ongoing email scandal. And it's
Dave,
interesting.
Could I say one thing about, just one thing about that Iranian deal?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go right ahead.
Before we go, because I know we're running out of time, but I want to say this. We really... If anybody is listening to this radio broadcast. Every single person, it's my opinion that every single person should be calling their senators and letting them know they want them to vote no on this deal. This deal is one of the most dangerous. I mean, we are approaching World War III if we allow the Iranians to continue their pursuit of getting a nuclear weapon and weapons of mass destruction. And I'm telling you, we need to start now. Find the phone number of your senators. It's very easy to do. If you were a member of National Right, your congressman, you'd already have them on your smartphone or, on your website. I'm sorry, on your computer. And but I'm telling you, we need to be ringing the phones off their hooks to try to stop this.
Absolutely, Steve. Great advice. And friends, please heed that admonition. Locate the phone numbers of your representative in the House of Representatives. Locate the numbers of your two senators from your state. Contact the offices of these individuals and let them know unequivocally you want them to vote no on this Iranian nuclear deal. It is horrific, not only for the nation of Israel, but it is absolutely tragic for the United States of America. And Steve, I could not agree more. This has all the potential to push us into what could be World War III. We've talked about a lot of this on the program in the past as far as why this is such a bad deal, but this is our moment. This is our moment to let our voice be heard, and certainly, friends, you need to do that. We have, Steve, literally about 2 minutes left. I just want to bring this up. Hillary Clinton, boy, she's in trouble, Steve. It has now been revealed, and you almost have to laugh. I don't want to laugh, but you almost have to laugh or you would cry, that the people that have been monitoring, running Hillary's email server have been running it evidently from Denver, Colorado. This is kind of a small time operation. And, the components that are controlling the flow of Hillary Clinton's emails, containing classified information have been housed in a closet in a bathroom. Steve, I mean, can this get any more bizarre?
It really can't, Dave. I mean, you know, it's interesting. Charles Krauthammer, many of our listeners would know that name. He's a commentator that appears often, almost every day on Fox News. He said that every time Hillary says something, it comes out literally about 2 weeks later that what she was saying previously was not true.
You know, Steve, one of the things, I guess, that grieves me at my very core is exactly that. The history of Hillary and Bill Clinton has been one lie right after the other. And yesterday, there was a gentleman who is was well entrenched in the entire Watergate scandal. I don't mean he was a part of it, but he reported on it. And what he is saying, and Steve, I completely agree, that the similarities between the Watergate scandal and the Hillary Clinton email scandal, they're eerily similar. And, you know, Steve, oftentimes it's not the initial infraction that gets the politician in trouble. It's the cover-up afterward that gets them into the most trouble. If Hillary had just come out and say, look, here's what I did. I shouldn't have done this. It was terrible for me to do. It jeopardized national security. I should have been much more wise in the way I approached this. If she had done that, she might ultimately be in a better situation than she is right now. However, her attempt to cover all this up, her attempt to lie about it, as more information comes out, I believe, Steve, honestly, this is the end of her campaign for president. This is going to be her undoing. And to be quite honest with you, she may actually face jail time. Well, friends, thank you for joining us today. Steve, thank you for being aboard. I appreciate it so much. Your glad insights are always valuable. Friends, come back tomorrow. We have our Friday edition of Stand in the Gap today. It's Phone In Friday, and so we'll take questions about the topics of the day. I want to encourage you to tune in. Don't miss it. And between now and then, lots of news, I'm sure, will take place, and we'll try to approach all of it and answer it from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 o'clock.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4th, 1801.